My guest at this time is Florida Republican Congressman Tom Rooney, who represents the Sunshine State's 16th Congressional District. He's also among about 100 House members who are pushing the super committee to come up with not $1.2 trillion in impending spending cuts to help reduce our debt problem, but actually $4 trillion. And he joins me now to explain why that is now the new goal for many of the members and what the differing ideas are on how to get there. And, sir, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
How do we get to $4 trillion? Why is that a number that a lot of people are embracing right now?
Well, I think if you look at, you know, the rating agencies and other entities that are looking for indicators that we're getting our affairs in order in the U.S. Congress, you know, the $1.2 trillion is good, but I think that people are looking for a shot in the arm that the United States of America, not just in our country, but abroad. You know, that we have our act together and we're not turning into Greece, and that we're going to, you know, right our ship and sort of lead the way for the rest of the world. And $4 trillion is kind of, you know, as we're approaching $15 trillion in debt, $4 trillion is certainly, I think, a substantial number to show everybody that we're serious. We can get this job done for the American people in a bipartisan way. And despite our wonderful 9% approval rating and the fact that we've been in gridlock for the last year, when push comes to shove, we can do the work of the American people.
Congressman, 40 Republicans and 60 Democrats releasing the letter on Wednesday. I know you were one of the folks going around getting people to sign up to this idea of the $4 trillion in cuts. What are most of the common comments you heard from those who like this idea, and what did you hear from those who aren't quite ready yet?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, even if people didn't sign the letter, most people I talked to liked it. I mean, most people agreed, yes, we have to go big or maybe go home at the election day. So it wasn't a matter of, like, no way, I'm not signing, it's ridiculous. Some people had problems with the language maybe being a little overly broad, that it could include more defense cuts. I sit on the Armed Services Committee. Certainly I'd be squeamish about more defense cuts, or some people, you know, thought that this might include too much cuts to entitlements. And then some people, obviously on our side of the aisle, say that when you talk about revenues being on the table, that that might include tax cuts, which would violate, you know, a pledge they made not to raise taxes. But in the end, my response is like, look, all we're telling the super committee is that we want you to weigh all options. Whether or not you're comfortable with the final package or not, that's a different vote. But what we want them to know is there's a lot of people in the House of Representatives that want them to come up with something that we can all buy into, because there's been, unfortunately, an element of Congress this past year who's basically been no on everything. And so this group, I think, is just to say, hey, there's a whole heck of a lot of us that want to be yes, you know, so, you know, do something big, do something that 50 years from now we can look in the mirror and look back and be like, that was the time that we turned the ship around and that we showed the American people that we are, you know, able to govern and that this country is still great. Because if we don't, I hate to ramble, if we don't, we're going to go into next spring. If this thing goes to sequestration and we don't have a deal and we go into next spring, we're going to be in full campaign mode for reelection. And this Congress will officially go down as having basically done nothing.
So, Congressman, what are you willing to accept that maybe wouldn't be in your perfect deal?
I really like the plan that the President and the Speaker were working on during the debt limit vote, this grand bargain, so to speak, which was $800 billion in new revenue, which a lot on the right are not happy with, for entitlement reform. And, you know, when you talk about doing the big things, if you look at, you know, the 900-pound gorilla in the room, it is entitlements when you talk about the future. Entitlements are going to suffocate this country by the time my children are my age. And that's just a fact. I mean, nobody disputes that, but everybody's like, whoa, entitlements, third rail, can't touch it. Well, you know, we're getting to the point of no return where politically, you know, that might sound good to, especially in my district, I have the fourth oldest district in the country. But, you know, are you more worried about getting reelected, or are you more worried about telling the truth so that we can afford to continue to have, like, a military. I mean, because those are the type of things that are going to be unable to be funded very soon here because of entitlement. So if we can close loopholes and get rid of deductions in the tax code, which some people say is a tax increase, and that's fine, and get meaningful entitlement reform in return, I would take it.
Let's follow up on a couple of those points, and obviously we're getting into details that the super committee may or may not consider here, but in exchange for the tax reforms, the increased revenue on reducing loopholes and deductions, the idea over the summer seemed to be that marginal rates would then be cut relatively substantially. Is that part of your calculation as well?
Yes, absolutely. This is something Paul Ryan talks a lot about, that, you know, in the end what you have is a net tax cut. Because if you can cut corporate taxes, get some of these companies to, you know, want to come back to America and to do business, and send an indication to businesses here that we're a friendly place. We're something like the second highest taxing country in the world when it comes to corporations, behind Japan. And you know, we need to send a message that this is a good place to do business. So if you can reform the tax code by cutting out these loopholes, reducing overall corporate tax structures and capital gains, then you're sending a message to people that it's good to do business here, and getting Medicare reform. I mean, I know this all sounds too good to be true, but believe me, there's a lot of people with everything that I just said right there are like, no way. I'm not reforming entitlements, because I'm worried about getting reelected, and closing loopholes looks like a tax increase to some people, so we're not budging. So what we were saying yesterday with this letter is saying, look, there's a lot of us that don't think that way, that really want this to be a big deal.
Congressman, on the entitlement front, what ideas do you think there might be consensus on that could actually get through the House and Senate? There's been talk of obviously raising the age of eligibility, means testing, those sorts of things. What do you have in mind?
No, I like both of those. But, I mean, for me, the one thing that I've heard from a lot of the seniors in my district, especially the ones that are well-to-do, are like, look, you know, I would be willing to sacrifice some of what I've paid in with entitlements because I'm, you know, getting to the retirement age with, you know, in considerable wealth. It is, you know, they would say it's kind of ridiculous for me to be wanting the same from the government, you know, as opposed to somebody who really, really needs help, somebody who's, you know, elderly, living in poverty, is relying on the government, needs those entitlements to survive, that if you means test me and I'm rich, I'm okay with that. So, you know, a lot of this has been tested in the waters by me just going around and asking people in my district and getting on the phone and calling them and just being like, you know, would you be willing to take less from the government when you retire for things like, you know, Medicare, if you have more money versus somebody who really can't afford it? And they're like, absolutely.
Last question before we let you go, Congressman. You alluded to this earlier on in our conversation, but as many folks know, and some are about to learn, if there is no deal 20 days from now, and certainly nothing by Christmas, then these defaults kick in with huge cuts to entitlements and also major, major cuts in defense spending. You're on the Armed Services Committee. If we go to those defaults, what happens to our military?
We basically are gutting it. I mean, honestly, we're going back to the late 1970s, when we, you know, figured that this was the easy way to cut some spending. And, you know, there are cuts to entitlements, but they are nowhere near, you know, in proportion to what we're basically picking on defense. When entitlements are the things, as I said before, are eventually going to suffocate us, we're hollowing out our military to the fact that if anything ever happened where we needed to go to war, I believe would not be able to do it. And that's coming from Secretary Gates himself, who worked for the president when he came and testified before us in the Armed Services Committee before he retired, and we were doing the budget for the Department of Defense. He gave us, this is absolutely as low as we can go. We cannot go a penny more. And basically what sequestration, the default, as you said, would go another $800 billion, and that would just be something that the Department of Defense, I don't know where you're cutting at that point. We're not going to be keeping up with China. We're not going to be keeping up with our enemies. We're going to be flying around in planes that are antiquated and boats, you know, our Navy's not going to be able to keep up. Essentially, you're ceding your, you know, your global superpower status, you know, at that point, I would think. I'm not to sound too dramatic, but I really do believe that that would happen.
Both parties care about national security. Very quickly, does the fact that more would be coming out of defense than entitlements mean Democrats are negotiating from a position of strength here?
I heard that today for the first time as a political, you know, maybe political gamesmanship that, you know, if nothing happens, you know, might be an overall win for the Dems because of the amount of cuts from defense. But, you know, I'm just hoping that, you know, as people have said in our history, in our recent history, the only time you really get big things done is when you have a divided Congress like we have with Newt Gingrich and Bill Clinton and welfare reform and Tip O'Neill and Reagan and tax reform. I mean, everybody's got to get their hands a little bit dirty and get their fingerprints on these things. Otherwise, you know, we're just going to have gridlock. And if the Democrats don't take this opportunity to do something big in the things that we've talked about with a deal that Obama and Boehner had, I think that we're really missing an opportunity. And our 7% or 9% approval rating is therefore justified, and it's unfortunate.
Congressman, we appreciate your time very much today, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Florida Congressman Tom Rooney represents his state's 16th congressional district, also a member of the House Armed Services Committee. He's also one of 40 Republicans and one of about 100 House members pushing for the super committee to reduce the U.S. spending by $4 trillion. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.